Welcome to the Slice of Heaven 24-hour pie shop and driving range. My name is Barbara Jean Walsh, and I believe that everyone needs a special place to go to from time to time. If your path leads you to our door, well, come on in and plan to stay a while. We're open 24 hours a day.
Hi. This episode has two pieces to it. A little bit about after the fall pie, including a recipe, and some musings about perfect timing. After the fall pie, don't forget, it's the first day of fall, my sister Melby tells me on the phone. As I hear her voice, I am sure she is wearing at least one sweater and knows where her boots are. After all, that's basic survival behavior in the great state of Maine. I, too, know that it's fall, even here in South Florida. The traffic on I-95 is starting to pick up. The sidewalk cafes in the village are bustling again, and the boutiques are showing pink sweaters with fur trim. And out at the Slice of Heaven 24-hour pie shop and driving range, we are on the lookout for migrating birds, and we're starting to get orders for apple pie, pumpkin pie, and squash pie. One more month, and the mince pie people will be showing up. There are other signs of fall, too. The ubiquitous football games on every flat screen in every bar. And the faux fall leaves in the shop windows and the Halloween decorations are already up in the Winn-Dixie. As I talk to Melby, the idea for an after-the-fall pie pops into my mind. It should have both apples and pomegranates to signify the mixed myths of Adam and Eve and Persephone. No doubt at all, pomegranate is a powerful fruit, a particular favorite of the lords of the underworld, which would, of course, include Satan. I think it's too bad for the lovely, innocuous apple to take the rap for the fall of humankind. Mythologists feel it was much more likely caused by Eve's consumption of pomegranates, and possibly a whole lot of wine. Persephone also had a pomegranate problem. If she'd never been tricked into eating those seeds, we'd have summer all year round. Oh, wait a minute. I live in South Florida. We do have summer all year round. I'm still thinking about my after the fall pie. Not sure where to go with it. I take a break and put on my CD of the Pogues singing If I Should Fall from Grace with God. But it is so jarring, I can't listen to the whole thing. I'm also thinking about the movie After the Fall, in which Brad Pitt inexplicably never ages, although the rest of the cast appears to be quite gnarly by the end. Huh. After that, I come up with the idea that Eve didn't just eat an apple or a pomegranate. I don't think it was wine either. No, I'm pretty sure she got into the applejack. Now, if you've never sampled applejack, this may not be the time to start. My, oh my. Consumed with the right amount of gusto on a crisp fall night, possibly over on the other side of the swing barn where Sue 10 has those cute little hard resin chairs with cup holders, applejack will remove the top of your head and fill your brains with autumn leaves. So I'll just give you a little taste. After the fall pie recipe. First, buy a large bottle of applejack brandy and prepare your favorite type of unbaked crust with fluted edges. Maybe make that pie crust first. A 9-inch pie plate should be just about right. For the filling, peel and slice 6 tart apples. Soak those apple slices in a cup of applejack brandy overnight. And maybe take a sip or two yourself, just to make sure it's all right. In the morning, cream 4 ounces of butter with 8 ounces of sugar. When the mixture is light and fluffy, strain the apples, fold them in. A little lemon zest wouldn't hurt. How's that brandy, anyway? Cover with foil and bake at 400 degrees for 30 minutes. Feel free to have another drink while you wait, or go ahead, make the topping. For the topping, cover the hot apple mixture with a layer of thin pomegranate slices. Whip a cup of heavy cream, then blend in 3 to 4 tablespoons of sugar and 3 egg yolks. Cover the pomegranate slices with the whipped topping and return to the oven for 10 minutes or until the topping is golden brown. Garnish with pomegranate seeds. Drizzle any remaining applejack over all, but chances are the applejack will have disappeared by the time you get to this step. And just like Adam and Eve, you should probably go put some clothes on too. Perfect timing. I've never been someone known for her timing, or at least not for her good timing. Pretty Boy Boyd, my second ex-husband, used to tell me at least once a week, "Your timing stinks." Of course, that retort would usually come right after my weekly suggestion that he find a new place to live. And yet tonight, my timing is so good that I go through 97 golf balls before the rain starts, and hitting those last 3 in the rain is a pleasure. After all, I've already had more than a solid hour of practice, and during most of that time, my young employee, Joe Sparkle Jr., is out on the tractor scooping up balls. I've got to say, I've never seen anyone operate a tractor quite so slowly or carefully, and it surprises me, since Sparkle Jr. is usually pretty wound up on sugar and caffeine. I suspect that the morning guy may have had a word with him at some point about safety, responsibility, and keeping his job. So, Sparkle Jr. is making his transit, carefully and endlessly, and the late night crowd is, as usual, entrancing me with their high and long arcs. I definitely prefer to practice at night under the lights so I can watch the balls, and tonight we've got some good hits going on, even without the metallic clang of new age drivers. Behind me, there is an Asian guy who is so obsessed with perfection that he continues to stand and work on his swing long after his bucket is empty. I go over and speak to him for a second just to make sure he understands that we do now have an all-you-can-hit policy at the Slice of Heaven 24-hour pie shop and driving range. For some reason, he looks at me as if I am crazy and goes right on swinging in air. Apparently, he feels he's already got his money's worth. Myself, I would keep going until I can't go no more. But the rain ends that little reverie. Speaking of our all-you-can-hit policy, I had earlier imagined a sort of conveyor belt bringing the balls out to the range. But the engineering concept lost out to the KISS method, and I decided that people can just keep refilling their buckets. Too bad, though. I was looking forward to seeing what the morning guy would come up with to deliver the balls to the customers. Oh, well. Tonight I'm getting in some nice swings myself, but I'm uncomfortably aware that I am wearing the wrong bra. Something about this black underwire just isn't doing the trick for me. Then I think maybe I can use the aggravation to my advantage, like Tim Robbins wearing a garter belt in Bull Durham. Or maybe not. I find myself longing for my favorite Body by Victoria orange bra and make a mental note to look for more of the same next time I'm at the mall, which is at best a twice-a-year event. Perhaps the perfect golf bra will offer the morning guy an even better engineering challenge, one that I am sure he can solve given the right data, parameters, and hypothetical situation. I'm tempted to leave him a post-it note and maybe a catalog or two, but I resist. Although I do think he might secretly enjoy adding a lingerie subsection to his proper attire, hints for golfers. Actually, I did conduct a quick internet search and it appears that I may be the only one interested in finding the perfect golf bra. Anyway, apparently, a number of people are looking for the perfect Volkswagen golf bra, but that's not the same thing at all, now is it? As I practice, I am again wondering about other kinds of equipment too. I'm still messing around with the same old 9-iron and will do so until Sandra tells me to try something else. Your job is just to swing the club, she says, and I do. I look out at the target, then down at the ball, find my focus to the left, do some yoga hooks, let my right hand pull up the club, and watch it drop down like a pendulum through my proposed path. If the ball is sitting in the right place to be hit, so much the better. And all that time, the voice in my head is singing, don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing, doo-wop, 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 doo-wop. I'd write more, but I have to get back to the pie shop. Sue Ten came by earlier to leave off something that she calls pie, but that I still say is a casserole. Back in Maine, there's an expression, just because a cat has kittens in the oven, that don't make them biscuits. And I feel the same way about pie. Just because you throw some food into a round tin, that don't make it a pie. Of course, this will probably just encourage her to bring over more possibilities. I sure hope so. By the way, if you aren't doing anything on Friday night, you should stop by the swing barn. Sue was planning to show the McCain-Obama debate on her big screen television, but now it looks like the debate won't be on. So she's going to show Soylent Green outside on the wall. Bring your own lawn chair and bug spray. But if you want a real pie, come see me. And look, Sparkle Jr. is finally bringing in the tractor. Perfect timing.
That's all for now. I hope you'll join us again. Meanwhile, we'd love to hear how you're doing with your own golf game, your poetry, and your pie recipes. Just drop us a line at radio@slicingheaven.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, you can always buy the book at amazon.com or from your favorite bookseller.